would like to begin pre-worship assembly for our service at 9:25 a.m. We are now inviting those congregants with small children and any congregants requiring special assistance to begin getting seated at this time. Please have your Bibles, hymnals, and belongings ready. Regular worship will begin soon. Thank you. This is a second announcement. Regular worship will begin now. We will begin with gathering song.
I invite you to turn with me to number 46 in the hymnal. In the hymnal number 46, I sing the mighty power of God. And if you are able, I invite you to stand and join us as we continue to gather.
Thank you. HMC would like to welcome you to our 9:25 worship service. Whether you're a longtime attender, listener at home, or visitor, we ask that you please sit up in your seats, assume good posture at this time, and arrange your belongings so that they're convenient, using the space underneath your seat or the seat in front of you. Please silence all electronic devices, including iPads, Kindles, 3DSs, and cell phones. Smoking is prohibited indoors in the state of Indiana. Thank you for choosing to join us at Walnut Hill. We hope you'll enjoy this service, find your heart filled with worship, and maybe learn a thing or two.
Good morning, everyone. This is your pastor speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. The time is 9:35 a.m. The weather is overcast, and with a long call to worship and children's time, we will run approximately 15 minutes behind schedule. We'll try to make it up to you over the next few Sundays. The worship crew will be coming around shortly to give you a safety briefing. Our service will begin after that. I'll talk to you again when I do my sermon. Until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy this important spiritual metaphor.
Congregants and visitors, on behalf of the worship group, I ask that you please direct your attention to the worship attendants as we review the emergency procedures.
There are 22 emergency exits from the sanctuary. two aft, and 18 window emergency exits in a dire situation. Take a minute to locate the exit nearest you. Remember, it might be behind you.
Should the sanctuary experience sudden pressure loss, stay calm and listen for instructions from the worship crew. Oxygen masks will drop down from above your seat. Place the mask over your mouth and nose like this. Pull the strap to tighten it. Although the bag may not inflate, be assured oxygen is flowing to the mask. If you're traveling with children, make sure that your own mask is in place before helping your children. In the unlikely event of a true emergency and evacuation, leave your belongings behind. Please take a moment to review the bulletin most likely located on your seat or on the floor in front of you.
Xinyi, I don't want to monger any fear here, but we don't have any actual oxygen masks. Too expensive. It didn't pass the congregational budget meeting.
But the metaphor, Lynn, is an important metaphor.
I know it is, but I just wonder if it's the best thing to say that we have something in place that isn't there.
Whoa, the metaphor just got deeper.
Think it's time to explain?
Yeah, probably.
We hope you enjoyed this little skit. It might seem silly, but as we began to prepare for this service, the idea of putting on your own oxygen mask first started to emerge, and we couldn't help but bring it to life.
A small housekeeping note before we begin. Throughout September, there won't be a separate offertory or the singing of Let Them Come for Children's Time. When we sing My Coins Count, that is the time for the ushers to collect the offering and for the children to collect the coins for MCC. After the offering, the children will stay out front as we pray for the offering, and then we'll go straight into the children's time.
This is the start of a new church year, and as in years past, we are exploring a theme this year. And this year, the theme is transformative practices, which are spiritual practices that are transformative in us. You'll hear more about that during the announcements. And throughout September, we will be focusing on loving ourselves.
Why? Because learning how to love ourselves helps us care for ourselves as God intends. recognizing that every human being is created in the image of the living God, helps us look at ourselves in new ways and celebrate the loving, creative, redemptive work of our God.
And today we are focusing on how we put on our own oxygen mask first as a way of recognizing that we can't take care of our loved ones or our community if we're spent. It's a good place to start the practice of loving ourselves because it begins with accepting God's love, nurturing ourselves with it, and letting it bring life into us.
There is a lot of baggage, pardon the travel pun, around the term self-care. But caring for ourselves, especially if we do it as a means of loving ourselves the way God loves us, is a transformative thing. By treating ourselves with tenderness, respect, and patience, we become aware of what needs help, what's going well, and what we are called to.
We see Jesus do this over and over again in the New Testament. We often see him going off on a walk, sometimes a very long walk, after expending himself teaching in crowds or healing someone. And we see Jesus seek refuge in a garden where he goes to pray. We see Jesus communing with friends. These aren't just stories, they're tools, and they're there for us to learn from Christ.
Later on in this service, you'll be invited to participate in this practice of putting your own oxygen mask, but not literally. But first, join us in this call to worship.
We are gathered here not because we have seen fit to choose Christ, but because he has looked upon us and called us to be his own.
O God, you have searched me and known me. You read my every thought from afar. There is not a word on my tongue that you do not know altogether.
The joy of those who hear the call of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
And now we'll have some singing.
Before we begin, I invite all young and young at heart to come and grab an instrument. Our first song is Sia Humba. So please grab an instrument, and I invite you to stand.
Sia hamba,
Thank you for the extra instruments. This next song is called Faithful God. I taught it a couple weeks ago, so we'll be relearning it again. It's from convention.
Oh,
49. And you may be seated. Sing the story, number 49. This will be a song that we will sing throughout the month of September to remind us of caring for ourselves.
Get your coins out as we will sing the My Coins Count song. Difference in the world. If we look around us, there are people that we see all around the world, needing food or water or a chance to to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coin.
Receivers of love, receivers of grace, receivers of Jesus. We offer our thanks to you for what we have received. We accept your love and grace, and we know that through accepting what you've given, we are empowered to give. So we become the givers, following God's call, following Jesus, following our hearts. Lord, we give these offerings for the work of your kingdom with humble thanks for mercies received. Amen.
Has any one of you flown on an airplane before? Ooh, we have quite a bit of hands here. So here's my quiz for you. You can put down your hands. Here's my quiz. What do the flight attendants do before the flight takes off? Ellie? Yep, they kind of give you directions in case of emergency. Yes, Kaylee? They tell you to buckle, that's right, to keep you safe. Micah? Before they take off, they go on a long road. That's right. The big, long runway, right? Mm-hmm. I don't, you don't listen? That's a good point, because my next question is, how many of you pay attention? You do? Really? I think the kids pay more attention than the adults. So, if you pay attention, do you remember what they say about oxygen masks? What do they say about oxygen masks?
They will come down and put it first to you, and then
they will put it on someone else. Yep. So the advice is for adults to put it on themselves first before they help their kids, right? Or the joke is they help their favorite kid first. Now, if that is the case, do you think that's a selfish thought? Is that a selfish instruction? Why not? Yes? Exactly. So we need to make sure that we can help ourselves first before we can help others. And God created us because God loves us. So we should really love ourselves before we love others. And if we don't save ourselves, do you think we have time to save others? So for this month, we will be learning about loving ourselves, and there are some practices on how to love ourselves. Now, sometimes in loving ourselves, we also need others to witness or watch our practice, basically just to kind of like know whether you can check in with each other about whether you are what you are doing in loving yourselves. So this month, we will launch hashtag O2 Mass Partners. So this is our hashtag for this month, okay? This is a campaign. We are all going to be participating in that. We will all be assigned to an oxygen partner, including the adults. So they're up for a surprise here. So for you kids, you can come over to Lynn and pick out a card and see whether you can find a match, and then you will sit with your match. So come over here and pick a card. And flip over, see whether you can find a match with, this is just for the kids, so see whether you can find the same number with each other. And then sit together. Preston, you're going to stay here. The kids are going to stay here. All right. All right, we have one uneven. So here's the mystery. Let's see whether... Two, who's two? All right, you two are going to sit together here, right here. Sit on the floor together. You're going to sit on the floor together. Christopher, what number? Three? Who got three?
Landry.
Landry. So, Christopher, you're going to go with Landry? All right. Okay, have a seat. There, you'll be with me. You'll be my partner. Okay. So, now that you sit together, here's the next assignment. I mean, homework. So, for this week, our practice is taking yourself on a date with God. So, in your partner, you will talk to each other about what would you like to do this week? What is your favorite thing to do by yourself? So, talk to each other here. All right. Have you talked to each other what you would like to do this week? To have a date with God? Okay, so give back your card to Lynn and you may go back to your seat.
All right. For scripture reading today, we'll be reading it in Spanish. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. Salmo 139, del 1 al 6. Oh Jehová, tú me has examinado y conocido. Tú has conocido mi sentarme y mi levantarme. Has entendido desde lejos mis pensamientos. Has escrudiñado mi andar y mi reposo. Y todos mis caminos te son conocidos. Pues aún no está la palabra en mi lengua. Y he aquí, oh Jehová, tú la sabes toda. Detrás y delante me rodeaste y sobre mí pusiste tu mano. Tal conocimiento es demasiado maravilloso para mí. Alto es, no lo puedo comprender. Amén.
O Lord, you have searched me and you know me.
You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord.
You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
We have worshiped well already this morning. I'm so grateful to be here. I have a favor to ask. Would you take out that little insert in your bulletin that says the attributes of God from Psalm 103? And on that page, would you write this phrase? I'm waiting for you to get pens and pencils. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's steadfast love endures forever. And then just keep that close. We're going to be using that in a minute. Some questions that I want you to respond to. How did you first discover that your mother and dad loved you? Say it out. They took care of us. They provided for us. What? What? Hugs and kisses. Could you say that a little bit louder?
Just before they spanked me, they told me that.
Why did they spank you, Roger? For the benefit of the children, would you tell us why they said they loved you and why did they spank you?
They thought I had done something wrong and I was not sorry for having done that.
So being sorry made a difference? I think the motivation for a lot of parents is first spanking in the old days was because we loved our children and we wanted them to behave in appropriate ways. But we didn't understand some of the things we understand now. When you, I'm sorry?
They did things with us.
Took us camping so we'd love the outdoors, Tammy. Yeah. When you first fell in love, what did your partner do to show you they loved you?
Spent time with us.
Sent you little notes.
Put trays of cookies on the step to my truck.
Wow, put trays of cookies on the step of his truck. They did things to show they love you. And hopefully your partners and your friends continue to do those little things and big things to show that they love you. It's an active thing. The story of the scripture is God's love song to you, to me, to the world, saying, I love you, over and over and over. Isaiah 43, verse 4 says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I don't think I had been aware before that the scripture actually said from God's being, I love you. And that was an important thing to find this week. I've given you a list of God's attributes, and there are many. What's your favorite one? You can shout it out. My favorite is, he remembers that we are dust. Basically, I'm a human being, I'm fallible, and I do a lot of things wrong. God forgives us.
Has compassion for us.
Excellent.
Steadfast love and mercy.
Yeah. Thank you. And at the end of all those attributes, it says, the everlasting love of the Lord is from eternity in the past to eternity in the future. It's everywhere, in all times. This phrase, God's steadfast love, is mentioned at least 74 times in the Hebrew Scriptures. Likely more than that, because when you do a search of a phrase, you have to have the exact phrase. And so certainly God's steadfast love is mentioned more often than that. I'm going to tell you a Bible story from 2 Chronicles 20. This is one of my favorite Bible stories. You can turn to it if you have your Bible, or you can just listen to the story. So the Hebrews had come into the land of Canaan, and they had begun having kings. And the particular king that was ruling at this time was named Jehoshaphat. Children, have you ever heard of a guy named Jehoshaphat? It's kind of a weird name. So King Jehoshaphat was praying out loud among all the people of that region. And they were listening. And he was basically asking God, aren't you the one that does wonders and mercy, has mercy on us? Well, then, why don't you help us? Because look, the people from Mount Seir and Moab from Ammon, they're all coming to destroy us and take our home. And when we first came into Canaan, you told the people back in our history not to kill and destroy these three communities, Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. And now they're going to come and destroy us. What are you going to do about it? And his last phrase is in verse 12. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And meanwhile, all the people were still standing together, the little children, the families, the grandparents. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon one person in that group, and he prophesied. And this is what he said. Listen, all you those from Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, this is what God says to you. Do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Here's where they will be. This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord will be with you. Then they all fell upon their faces and thanked God. And early the next morning, they got up. And Jehoshaphat said, I want you and you and you and you and you and you. I want you to go out before the army, and I want you to sing this to God. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. They sang that over and over and over. And the army came behind them. And while they were singing and praising, God created an ambush. The folks from Mount Seir were coming into the valley. The people from Moab and the people from Ammon were right there. They attacked them and destroyed them. And then they started fighting each other, and everyone was killed. The Israelites didn't have to lift one weapon. I think that's so remarkable. We Mennonites do ourselves a disservice when we don't listen and retell these Old Testament stories, because they have important nuggets of trust in them. How wonderful when we're facing a challenge to read this in 2 Chronicles 20. You don't need to lift a finger. Stand still and see what God will do for you. The phrase God's steadfast love endures forever seems to be the Hebrews' favorite refrain in their songs of praise. Would you say it with me? God's steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136 has 26 verses. The beginning of each verse states what God did, and then there's a refrain. God's steadfast love endures forever. The book of Sirach in the Apocrypha also has a long hymn of praise with this very same refrain. And the very last verse says, give thanks to the King of the kings of the kings. That's kind of a strange phrase. But it sounds like, you know, God is really powerful. Our God is really powerful. And then everyone said together, God's steadfast love endures forever. In John 3, you all know this verse, or most of you do. For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, so that everyone who believes in Christ may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Lin and Xinyi, you picked a phrase in some of your opening words that talked about how God loves us no matter what. It's not dependent on what we do. God loves us no matter what. Dan Miller wrote a pastoral letter to the pastors in the Indiana-Michigan Conference this week or last week. And one of the things he said in that letter was this: I understand Scripture to say that Jesus came because we needed help, not because we had it together. Christianity is an incarnated faith, an embodied faith. Jesus came to be with us even while we are sinners. Is there anyone here who's doesn't screw up from time to time? Jesus came even while we are as we are. Now, to close this beginning part, and bear with me because the last part of my sermon's not very long, I'm going to read to you an adapted section from Romans 8, which was written by Paul while he was imprisoned in Rome. He was being beaten. And this is what he said. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The one who did not spare God's own son, but gave him up for all of us, will that one not also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? It is the same God who justifies. Who is to condemn us? It is Christ Jesus who died, was raised, and is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or homelessness or violence or busyness or work? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the Holy One who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things in the future, nor powers of earth or heaven, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Finally, we come to Psalm 139. This psalm has four pretty distinct sections, and so we've divided this psalm into the four sections for this Sunday and the following three Sundays. And it's a long chapter. I want to point out some interesting things I found from reading James Waltner's commentary on Psalms. And James was my mentor when I first began pastoral ministry. And I found him to be like God. The very first verse in this psalm, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And although the last two verses are not projected, just listen to what they say. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You have searched me and known me. O God, search me and know me. Test me. Those similar words frame this entire psalm. And they refer to the intimacy that this psalm describes for us. This psalm has first and second person pronouns only. You and me, God. God and you. It's just the two of us. I find it interesting that this psalm begins with past tense, have searched, have known. And it ends with the present tense, search me, O God, and know my heart. Maybe it's because when we walk with God, we have a history. You have searched and known me. And daily, we can invite God to continue to search our hearts, to search our thoughts, and to show us where we need an adjustment. In verse 5, it speaks about God hemming me in behind and before. Well, this is steadfast love in action. God's embrace, God's protection behind and before, above and below, within and without. God's embrace, a hug. When Nadia walked in this morning, I wanted to hug her, and I opened my arms and she let me hug her. What a good thing. It blessed me so much, Nadia. It's wonderful to have you here. And verse 6 is the intimate partner's response to God's embrace. We say, this attention, this sensitivity, this love from God is so fabulous, it is beyond my comprehension. It is so high, I cannot understand it. James Waltner says, some folks have found repeated reading and reflection on the words of Psalm 139 to be a means for personal orientation. You want to know who you are? Read Psalm 139. We are rooted when we know where we belong and to whom we belong. I learned something important this week. Loitering and lingering are best practices when it comes to falling in love. Loitering and lingering. Think about the times that are precious between you and the person you're most intimate with. Loitering and lingering are good. It's amazing how long I could spend with my boyfriend on the couch in my mom and dad's house in the evening. And we didn't talk a lot. We didn't do a lot of other things either at that point. So this week I challenge you to loiter and linger in Psalm 139. In fact, this whole month, I invite you to loiter and linger in this psalm, to experience the steadfast love that this psalm describes and that you can experience as you loiter and linger with God. It is remarkable to me that in the story of Jehoshaphat and the people, and in Paul's story when he was facing prison and beatings, and in many other places in the scripture, the first thing to do when facing danger is, in an airplane, we put on our oxygen mask. But in war, Jehoshaphat and the people focused on God's steadfast love first. In Paul's letter, facing beatings, he focused on God's love, God's steadfast love, first. No matter what we face, we can focus on God's steadfast love first. It will change how we respond to the circumstances that arise around us. We cannot learn to love ourselves as God loves us if we have no point of reference. The scripture is our reference for how much God loves us, for how much we are valued and loved. We are precious to God. She loves us. So put on your oxygen mask and breathe in God's love first and always.
As a song of response, we will sing, "Draw Me Close to You."
Draw me close to you.
I would like to draw your attention to the transformative practice insert in your bulletin. So we will try out this experiment, this hashtag O2MassPartners experiment. When you come in, you are given a dolphin card. And so flip it over and you will find a number. So the experiment is to find your partner. And they are actually across the sanctuary from each other. So stand up and find your partner. Let's see whether we can make this happen. If you cannot find your partner, maybe come up front and we'll do some matchmaking. Oh, and then for the children, you can find your partner now or you can stay at your seat. Seated with your partner.
We match the whole thing, like the
90. Yep, match the whole thing, not just the number, everything. Maybe if you don't have a partner, grab the partner next to you. Margo, well, Theo there. All right, we did it. Woohoo! Yay! So, with your partner, maybe you can exchange email address or phone number so that you can check in with each other over the week on how you are doing the transformative practice. So go ahead, have a little chatter. Or if you already know each other, that's even better. All right, so do you have each other's information? Awesome. So for the practice this week, you will take yourself on a date with God. So you may want to walk somewhere or have a perfect cup of coffee or sit beside a pond, do something to go on a date with God. And then you will check in with your oxygen mask partner, you know, via email or text or whatever. And just the partner is not to do it with you per se, but as accountability partner. Does that make sense? All right. You may choose to stay where you are for the rest of the service or go back to your seat. For your cards, there is a basket in a narthex area. So if you want to drop your cards over there. All right. Thank you all for participating in this experiment.
As your pastor, I am privileged to see all of the many ways in which you people give to this church. Those of you that we see up front here in worship, but also the many, many, many of you who give behind the scenes doing all sorts of things. So thank you for all the ways that you guys serve. So today is primarily about commissioning and blessing those that are filling specifically discerned positions in the congregation. But again, I do want to take a moment to appreciate and thank all of you for the many ways that you give behind the scenes and publicly and whatnot. I especially want to highlight the combined 12 years that Shar and Jolene have given as elders of this congregation. They have put in many hours, so thank you. Today, we particularly recognize those positions that we as a church sought discernment for and have picked to serve in specific roles. Each of these roles is vital to the ongoing health and vitality and mission of this congregation. So I would like to recognize those folks at this time. You can just simply give a wave or I think most of us know each other. Elders, as chair, Evelyn Zumfeldy. Administrative elder is Arloa Bontrager. Adam Friesen Miller is continuing on, and then Jane Miller is serving dual roles of pastor and elder. On the Pastor Congregation Relations Committee, we have Brian Miller serving as chair, Roger Miller, and Liz Yoder. Our trustee again this year is Khalil Schertz, and assistant trustee is Bob Roth. Sunday School Superintendent is Lynn Diener, and assistant Sunday School Superintendent is Steve Norton. Our MYF sponsors are Jason and Rhiannon Harrison, who are going on 8 years or so. Thank you. And JYF sponsors, going from elders to JYF sponsors, are Char Mast and Jolene Von Gutten, so thank you. Our treasurer is Janice Eichste Miller. Our mentor coordinators are John and Margot Nafsiger. Conference delegate is Xin Yi Tan, and the IHN coordinator is Rohr Bomberger. And community coordinator is Wanda Bontrager. Worship coordinators are Rhiannon Harrison and Jess Stoltzfus-Bowler, and our mission coordinators are Lynn Diener and Rolf Kautze. So please join me in commissioning these church leaders by reading the projected words with me. And those being commissioned can also feel free to read to the others that are being commissioned. But know that the words are for you too. So let's read this all together. Dear friends, you have been called by God and chosen by the people of God for leadership in this church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. Led by the Spirit, we recognize your special gifts and call you to work among us and for us. In love, continue with me, we thank you for accepting this invitation, and we challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to this people, and to our ministry in the world. We bid you to live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and your work. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we ask that you pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly to your service. May they care for their own needs as they seek to meet the needs of those around them. Guide them in their work, and may they find joy in it. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And please continue to pray for these fine people as they live out and fulfill these roles in this coming year.